Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we turn to the scriptures. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, to be here this morning, gathered in your name, gathered in your house, the place of worship, which has been dedicated and set aside for you, Lord, to come and meet with us and to speak to us, Lord. We ask, dear God, that you would guide us now through the scriptures, dear Lord, and help us, Lord, to yield to you that you may be able to speak and encourage the people and to give them strength, we pray. We ask all these things in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 6. And I want to wish all of you fathers out there a happy Father's Day. And I know I don't preach a Father's Day message as often as I do a Mother's Day message, it seems like, over the years. But this morning I want to preach a Father's Day message. And I would like to entitle it, Our Father. Our Father. Let's begin reading at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is saying those that pray to be, that their words be heard of others, talking about the, he called them hypocrites. He said they prayed loud in the synagogues and prayed loud on the street corners so that men would hear them pray. And he says they have their reward because men did hear them pray. And perhaps there would be people who would think, my, how holy they are and what great men of God they are, and think them in high esteem. So Jesus saying they got their reward here. So it had nothing to do with what they were saying. It had to do with where they were saying it at. And Jesus said, you could pray in secret. That doesn't mean that we can't pray in the midst of other people or whatever, like we do here in the church. But we're not praying to one another or for one another to hear. We're praying to God. And Jesus said, our Father knows what we have need of before we ask. Of course, he says, you should ask anyway. Ask and you shall receive. But he said you don't have to go through a repetition of repeating things over and over and over in order to get God's attention, to get the Father's attention to answer you, to give you what you need or desire. Just simply ask. And I have found that if you will go into prayer, and enter in first by just worshiping the Lord. And don't start in with your petitions and your requests, but just enter into your prayer by just worshiping the Lord, thanking the Lord for the things that he's done in your life, and just worshiping him and giving him glory. And it says that he abides in the praises of his people. And after a bit of time, why, you'll feel his presence come down. Then when you feel that you broke through that, all this atmosphere of demons and everything else, and these rulers of darkness in high places and things, and then you break into that land of prayer and you feel his presence, and then you can ask what you will and it's going to be granted you. He said he would grant you the desires of your heart. Now, he knows what we have need of best. But he says to pray after this manner: Our Father, he is our Father. He forever is our Father. We are his begotten children. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It means to be holy, to be separate, be consecrated. Holy, hallowed is thy name. Thy kingdom come. In other words, thy kingdom be established. May your kingdom appear. Come before the public. Thy will be done. It's what God wishes to be done by us. His will be done. Irregardless of what we think we need, it's his will that needs to be done. And it says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now we know in heaven, the angels carry out God's word without question. God's will is made manifest all throughout heaven. And he's saying, let thy will be manifest here in earth in our lives the same. Now we know in this world, God's will is not being made manifest. There is constant things to remind us of the age and time we're living in. And it often reminds me of where Brother Branham said, before the coming of the Lord, this world would go totally insane. And I believe that with the things that are coming out and things that are being pushed and held up, that it's going insane. The things they're wanting to change, I just read in the news where there's someone petitioning to change the flag because they said that there's been so many changes that's happened in our nation, and that when those Trump supporters marched on D.C., they ruined the image of our flag. And the stars ought to be not just one color, but many colors, you know, to represent all the many different kinds of people and races and everything that we have. And the stripes shouldn't be white, you know, because that's white supremacy. It should be an off-white. It's ridiculous, isn't it? They're going insane. They're going totally insane. Oh my. So his will's not being done in this world, but it's being done in the lives of his people who live in this world. And you know, in all of this that we're saying, these things could not happen unless God allowed it. Because the devil can't make a move unless God allows him to. However, you know, we know this is the kingdom of Satan. He made it very well knowing in the scripture, when Jesus was being tempted, he made it well knowing that it belonged to him. This was his kingdom. And Brother Branham preached a message called God of This Evil Age. And and it says, give us this day our daily bread. You have to excuse me, my leg is really hurting me. Give us this day our daily bread, which means food, both natural and spiritual. So he gives us our spiritual food as well. We're asking him to feed us. When we come to church, when we're preparing to come to church, we should be preparing to be fed by the Word of God. We should be asking the Lord, if we've got questions or we've got needs in our life, we should be asking the Lord to come and speak to those things when we come to church, when we come to service. If your Brother Branham said, you pray for your pastor and God will keep giving him those wonderful messages. And, you know, they don't just come out of thin air. But there has to be an inspiration. I want to tell you, the messages don't come by me doing a whole lot of reading. I can read and read and read, and all I've done is read. And I could tell you a whole lot of things, but it didn't mean I could preach. I could give you a good speech, but it doesn't mean I could actually bring something that would actually affect your soul. What we want to hear from is, we don't want to hear from Jerry Browning or Phil Bontrager or anybody else when we come here to church. We want to hear from Almighty God. We want to hear from our Father. Forgive us our debts, that which is justly or legally due. Forgive us our debts. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. He paid a debt that I could never pay. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And our debtors are ones who owe us. We should forgive those who owe us. And in this, I'm not talking about necessarily money. What I'm talking about is sometimes they, because you've done something for them, then you feel, well, maybe they owe me. You know, I'm glad Jesus didn't do it that way. I'm glad God didn't look at it that way. Now y'all owe me. The only thing he asked of us was to surrender. Give him our lives that he could use them for his glory. And what meaning would our life have otherwise? Lead us not into temptation. I've been preaching on character, and I said there's times that God allows temptations. But the Bible tells us God doesn't tempt us, but he allows the devil to come and tempt us. And these things are building character, because like we said, character is a victory, not a gift. The Holy Ghost is a gift of God. You don't have to do anything to merit to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift, but character comes through victory, which means there's got to be battles, which means there's got to be something there for you to overcome. And it builds and molds your character. Now, as humans, we many times are subject to human frailties, human thoughts. And, you know, sometimes as humans, We don't feel like doing certain things. And you know, there's times you don't feel like working, but you got to work anyway. Maybe there's times that you don't, there are a lot of things you don't feel like doing, but you got to do them.
Right.
You might not feel like paying your power bill, but you better. And there's times that Satan has come on you and you say, well, I don't feel like going to church. Well, that's human. That's human. But see, good character is, I'm going to go anyway. So, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He always provides a way of escape for everything that we face. God always provides a way of escape. And his way of escape is through Jesus Christ. Amen. For thine is the kingdom. Now, this word kingdom here is not to be confused with a place, but it's what it's more speaking of is the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. For thine is the kingdom. It's his right and authority to rule over the kingdom. And we said that in the time of the millennium that we will be ruling with him. So we need to now rule over this thing, this flesh. That's what we've got to conquer. That's what we've got to rule over now. And that builds character, ruling and reigning over this flesh, doing the things that are against this flesh. Sometimes the flesh feels like or desires to do a certain thing, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. For thine is the kingdom and the power. It's his power. It's his strength. When we are weak, he is strong. It's his strength that we rely on. It's his strength that carries us from day to day. We don't carry ourselves. It ain't within our own strength or our own selves that we make it from day to day. But it's by the strength of Almighty God. And the glory means the honor and praise belongs to him forever. How long is that? Eternity. Amen, which means so be it. Then Jesus goes on to say, if we forgive men their trespasses. The word trespasses there means offenses. If we forgive men their offenses, then our Heavenly Father will also forgive us our offenses. And you know, it's not to that you've got to wait for somebody to say, forgive me. When Jesus was on the cross, there was nobody down there saying, forgive me. But Jesus spoke and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so there's times when someone maybe has offended you, forgive them. Don't look for a way to pay them back. Don't look for some way to make yourself feel better. Just forgive them. And I tell you what, you'll feel better if you can forgive. If you can forgive and just let it go. Just let it go. Of course, if you go to church with one another, then you're going to be in one another's company. If we're going to heaven together, we're going to be in one another's company. But if you're offended by a child of this world, as my dad used to call them, earth men, they got no desire for God at all. They just live in this earth. Then still forgive them their offense against you. Doesn't mean you got to invite them over for dinner. Just means you got to forgive them and forget about it and go on. And Jesus says, if we don't forgive them their offenses against us, then our Heavenly Father won't forgive our offenses against Him. And I'll tell you what, we know there are times we offend Him. Else why would it say in the Bible, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you've been sealed? Meaning you've been sealed by the Holy Ghost, but you still can grieve Him by your actions. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Now, where we take up reading here, David has gathered all Israel together, and Solomon is going to be set up as king in David's place. And Solomon is being given all the things that David has accumulated, all the wealth, the gold and the silver and everything that David has accumulated to go into building the house of the Lord. And Solomon has been given now the authority over those things to place them into the house of the Lord, for the Lord that he's going to build, the temple. And so then after David has the congregation together and is preparing to do this, David prays. Now watch how closely David's prayer is to how Jesus said we ought to pray. Wherefore, verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, O God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Our Father for eternity. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. So here we find again, he's talking about power that he has to give strength unto his people. I was really taken about seemingly how close David's prayer was to how Jesus said we ought to pray. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now turn with me into Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading to verse 4. Now this is when John the Baptist is coming on the scene and beginning to baptize people in the River Jordan. And he's forerunning the coming of Jesus. And I find this quite outstanding because the Bible tells us that people from Judea came down to be baptized of him. People were coming down and believing his message. No one had ever been physically baptized before like this. But they were coming and being baptized and confessing their sins, the Bible says. This sort of thing had never been done before. There was no scripture that they could point to and say, well, John's doing this because this and so prophet did it. But they had to come down and believe that what John was preaching was the word of God. That it was absolute. It was absolutely what God wanted. Even though it went against anything they had ever heard before. The reason I'm emphasizing this is because we as humans, sometimes If we hear something we've never heard before, because sometimes I think we think we've been around long enough that we've heard about everything. But we hear something that comes out of the message that we haven't heard before, and sometimes we balk at it. Why? I never heard that before. Don't balk at it. It's God. Friends, God, listen, we are coming down to something greater. I said when I preached a message not long ago, when Brother Branham preached a message greater than Solomon is here, he wasn't referring to himself. He was referring to Jesus Christ. And now we're coming down to something greater than anything that's ever happened before. There's never been a rapture before. There's been, you know, Enoch was caught up. Elijah was taken up. But a rapture of a multitude of people.
Oh, man.
People raising from the dead and being raptured.
Amen.
People that are walking on the streets being changed in their bodies.
Amen.
Something greater is taking place.
Yes.
So why shouldn't God bring out things that we haven't heard before? Verse 4, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, recently this came up, and I looked it up again this morning while I was sitting back in the office. There is a difference between vipers and snakes. A black snake is a snake. A rattlesnake is a viper. Viper is one that's poisonous. And they actually come from two different species. They have, I can't remember all the Latin names, but the Latin name for snake, I think, is serpentine. And for viper is vibrae, and so they are giving them like they're two separate species. They can, you know, you could still call them a snake or whatever, but a viper's different. Now, what makes a viper different than a snake? Its nature, its character. So John was saying, these ain't just regular, ordinary snakes coming down here. You're a bunch of vipers. When vipers come together to conceive, the female latches on to the male's neck and stays there till she bites his head clean off. So he dies when she's conceiving. Then the mother, the eggs she carries inside her instead of laying them like a snake does. A snake lays their eggs, but a viper does not. A viper carries them inside herself, and then the eggs hatch inside her, and then the young eat their way out, therefore killing their mother. And the other thing that's different between vipers and snakes is vipers are poisonous. They have hinged fangs that come out so they can deliver their poison. So this is why that he didn't say you bunch of snakes. He said you bunch of vipers. Who's warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? He said you got poisonous doctrine. You got poisonous words. You're a poisonous nature, and your character is not the character of heaven. He was letting them know who their father was.
Yes.
That old serpent. The devil. Hallelujah. And then he goes on and he says, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. It means they should be bringing forth fruit or actions that say they have repented. When a person repents, repent means to turn from. So it means there's a change. You just don't say, I'm sorry, and then go on the same way. It's like somebody saying, no offense, and then they say something to offend you. That don't make no sense. But when you repent, then you turn from that thing that you're repenting of, and you don't do it no more. Now, I know we're humans, and we're in the flesh, and we're bound to make some of the same mistakes over and over again. And we're going to be presented with the opportunity over and over again until we get it right. John doesn't leave it there, but he goes on to say, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In other words, God's going to raise up spiritual children to Abraham. Hallelujah. Not just those that can point to a natural lineage. We this morning can't point to a natural lineage of Abraham, but we are Abraham's children because of it being spiritual. He was the father of faith. And we are children of God, but he's telling them, you're not children of Abraham because you don't have the character of Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. When you lay the axe to the root, you can chop down a tree, but if you don't get that life, it can spring back up. I don't know how many of you are familiar with beech trees and how they grow, but a beech tree runs out roots, and there's a lot of places that don't even allow you to plant beech trees in the city and things because of their roots. The roots run out real far, and after the roots ran out such a distance, up will pop another tree out of that root. So you can chop down the daddy tree, but there's all his children popping up from his roots out there. But when you lay the axe to the root of the tree, you kill them all. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We know, of course, he's speaking of Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 37. Now, this is Jesus' words, and he's speaking to these Sadducees and Pharisees and them, and he says, I know you're Abraham's seed. In other words, your natural lineage is from Abraham. But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Now, Jesus is making a comparison here. He's separating who their father is and who his father is. You're Abraham's seed, but I can tell you one thing, you don't have the same father I've got. You're Abraham's seed of the natural, But your spiritual father is not God, is what he's telling them. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. In other words, you would have the same character and nature that Abraham did. You'd do his works. But ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now think about that. When we come to the white throne judgment, and we as the bride are seated up behind the judgment bar along with God, and people are coming up to be judged, they could be from your natural lineage, but if they rejected God, you'll not see them as your son or daughter when they come before that throne. You won't be able to say, now God, they were my son back in life. Let them in. Ain't going to happen. They ain't getting in because they're related to you. Now I know Brother Branham said, and I believe it, that those that were good to the bride at that time can be granted eternal life. But they don't get it on the merits of just being your natural offspring or lineage on earth. See, they were Abraham's natural lineage. But what Jesus was telling them is, he's not your spiritual father's not God. You're not God's children. And spiritually, you're not Abraham's children, because if you were, you would do the things that Abraham did. And Abraham, and you seek to kill me, and this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So they're saying, oh, God is our father. And Jesus said, if God were your father, ye would love me. If God was your father, you would love me. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You say all day, I love Jesus. But can you love your brother and sister? Because that is the representation of Jesus here on earth, the bride of Jesus Christ, one another. Can you love one another? If you can't love one another, then you better start looking at what's wrong. You gotta love one another. And I don't mean just in this particular group. I'm talking about others that believe this message and follow it, that go and attend in other places. If you can't love them, something's wrong. Well, they did this or that against me. Forgive them their trespasses, that your heavenly Father may also forgive you your trespasses. Hallelujah. If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Now listen to this. Now he really just sticks it to them. Ye are of your father the devil. Now before he's telling them, you know, you got a different father. But now he tells them who that father is. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? In other words, which one of you can point at me somewhere I've sinned, Jesus is saying. We know they couldn't. They tried. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So he really lets know, you're of your father devil, you're not of God. And that's why you can't hear my words, because my words are the Father's words. The son can do nothing till he sees the father do it first. Now let's read on down. Verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered and said, I have not a devil, but I honor my father. And ye do dishonor me. And by dishonoring him, they're dishonoring the father. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, Jesus is not speaking of natural death. Jesus is speaking of a spiritual death. That even though you would give up this body, give up this life here on earth as you know it, you don't die because you believed his word. But they're taking it that Jesus is talking about this natural life. And then said the Jews unto him, now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keepeth my sayings, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? The answer to that question is yes. And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answers, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. But ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. So he just called them a bunch of liars. First, he tells them, you're of your father the devil, and he was a liar, and y'all are a bunch of liars too. Amen. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now, how did Abraham see Jesus' day? Remember when Abraham took and offered the sacrifices, and then he went into a sleep, and God then came and appeared and showed Abraham the revelation, the same revelation that Job had got of the resurrection. And Abraham saw those things happen. Abraham saw the coming of Jesus by vision. And he rejoiced and was glad. And went then and bought a cave in the field of Machpelah, so that he may be buried there, which that cave is in the same place of Jerusalem that was later become Jerusalem, to where it was the same place where Job was buried, that it was a place where the resurrection was going to take place. Abraham saw all these things. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was a thing going around, a little, I think they call them a GIF, that was going around being passed around different believers in that. When Israel was in this recent struggle they were in, and there was missiles being fired at them, and their enemies were saying that somehow their missiles were being misdirected and were not hitting their targets in Israel. And so they started passing around, you know, that it was because of God watching over Israel. And they passed around this little clip from the movie of the Ten Commandments, where in the movie, the Pharaoh comes back and Ramses comes back after his army's been drowned in the Red Sea, and he comes back and there sits Nefertiti, and he comes walking in, and she says, "You couldn't even kill him." And he said, "His God is God." Hallelujah. "Before Abraham was, I am." And they took up stones to cast at him. Woo! Showing who their father was, aren't they? But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. How did he hide himself? They were blinded. They couldn't even see him. They were looking around and see one another, but couldn't see him. Oh, there's coming a time, friends, when people are going to look around, and you're going to be there, but they ain't going to see you because you're going to be changed. And the dead in Christ is going to rise, and they're going to come to you, but the rest of the world ain't going to see them because they're not going to be able, they're not going to be able to interact with that dimension. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Amen. There's got to be a reason, and I find to bring that up in almost every service I preach. We're coming down to it, brother and sister. Amen. Now turn with me to John chapter 4. Now, this is a beautiful story here to me. I always loved preaching on this story. When I preached on election, I would always include this story. And this is about the woman at the well. And she's at the well of Jacob. Jacob dug this well. And she's coming to the well, but she can't come at the time that the other women come. Because she's looked down upon. Been there. She's looked down upon. So she has to come at another time. Now, Jesus could have come earlier. At the time when the maidens were coming. At the time when the honorable women of society were coming. But Jesus didn't come to the well at that time. Make no mistake, Jesus didn't come there. It wasn't by accident that Jesus ended up there at that well at that exact time. Jesus had a plan. You see, how do you know that? Right here in the very verse I'm going to read you, in verse 4 of the 4th chapter of John. And he said he must needs go through Samaria. There was a need for him to go there because there was a child of God there. There was somebody there whose father was God. And God was calling unto them, and he said, "All that come to me, the Father hath called. No man can come except the Father calls him." So she was being called, and she was a child of God. And so Jesus said, "I've got to go there." And he had to go there an exact time. Friends, he had to come down to you at an exact time in your life because you were a child of God. Hallelujah. "Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey," now why would he be wearied from his journey? Because we're saying Jesus was walking in flesh, just like you and I. "And Jesus, being weary from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, Samaritans were half Jew, half Gentile, and they were looked down upon by the Jews. Jews back then looked down on people like you and I. Gentiles. Jesus answered unto him, and unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would give thee living water. Now, Jesus is not talking in the third person here. Realize he's not saying I, he's saying he. Let me read it again, catch this now, because it looks like Jesus is talking, some might think he's talking to the third person, but he's not. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would give thee living water. So who was it she was to ask of? God. The Father was calling her. And the woman saying to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From hence then hast thou that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Oh my. Here he was asked the question again. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Oh yes, he was. Hallelujah. Which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. And Jesus said, answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And she did not say, you sound crazy. I think you are insane. No, she said, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Showing who her father was.
Yes.
Now, friends, she was half Jew, half Samaritan, which meant she had some claim to the lineage of Abraham, but it got mixed in with the Gentile. Turn with me to Isaiah 64 and 8. Isaiah 64 and 8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are the clay. And thou art potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Hallelujah. He's our Father. Friends, the reason your character has been being molded the way it's been, the reason you have went through the circumstances and faced the things that you have faced that have changed you forever, is because of who your Father is. Your Father is God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, you're familiar with this story that Brother Branham tells. He tells it several different times throughout the message. I just selected one, and I'll read it to you. I know you're familiar with it, but it's so fitting. He says, and come, let us reason together. He says, one great plantation down there, it was asked one time where they had over 100 slaves, and all of them were had to beat them around and everything, but one young fella kept his shoulders out. He was gallant as could be. And a boy, as soon as his boss said something, he backed up to it and done his work good. And some slave buyers come to I one day and said, I want to ask you something. Said, what makes that young man like that? Did you make him boss over the rest of them? The owner said, no. Said, well, did you feed him a little better than the rest of them or give him a better place to sleep? The owner said, no. Said, well, what makes him so gallant? What makes him so up and doing? What makes him conduct himself like that? He said, well, sir, I didn't know until just recently. And I've come to find out that the tribe that he's from, he is a son of a king. And he still realizes that though he's an alien, he's a son of a king. And he conducts himself before his brethren as a young and coming king. Hallelujah. God help us. Let us not be ignorant about things. Let's conduct ourselves as sons of God, a daughter of God. Don't go out here and live in beer joints and paint her face up and cut her hair off and act like a prostitute. Conduct yourself as daughters of God. You're a daughter to the king. That's right. Sons of God, don't go out here and take the Bible and say, oh, days of miracles is past and all that kind of stuff. They stand up for everything that God said. We may be pilgrims and strangers and aliens, but we're sons and daughters of the king. Pick up your shoulders high and live like men and women ought to. Live like real Christians. We're the sons and daughters of a king. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. That's who our Father is. And we're to honor him. And I'll tell you this, children, listen to me. You can honor him by honoring your Father here on earth. That God has given you to raise you in the ways of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what? I'm a father, so I can say this, and I'm a son, so I can say it. Fathers make mistakes, but don't hold it against us. When you were born, you didn't come with an owner's manual. You didn't come with the troubleshooting guide. What do you do in this certain situation? There wasn't no book like that. So, you know, you're born to your parents when they're young, mostly. Not all the time, Brother David. But most of the time, born when you're young. And, you know, you don't know, you haven't been around that very much long yourself. There's a lot you've got to learn. But you're a lot younger, so you can keep up with them fellas, you know. And, but honor your mom and dad. Honor your fathers today. Amen. You should honor your fathers and mothers every day. Not just on a Hallmark Day. I believe, you know, I still give honor on Father's Day. I always did. I pulled up a picture that was taken in 2013 of me and my brother with my dad up in Ohio, and I sent it to my brother this morning. And it was taken on Father's Day, 2013. And, you know, it's days like this, you realize your dad's gone and you miss him. But if your dad ain't gone, don't wait till he's gone to miss him. Don't wait till he's gone to bring and put flowers on top of the casket. Amen. Give him honor now while he's still living. Amen. He's your daddy. You know, you might have made mistakes. We all do. But you know what? Any good daddy worked hard to try to provide for his family. And that's, and when they accomplish that, not every daddy that does that can tell you. If you had a daddy that provided for the family and took care of the family that way and put a roof over your head and put clothes on your back and food on your table and that, not every daddy does that, I'm here to tell you. There's some deadbeat dads that won't even own up to the children. There's some deadbeats that won't even work and provide for their family. So you got something to be thankful for. Amen. We're sons and daughters of the King. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this message that you give us on this Father's Day. I pray for these fathers here this morning, dear God. May you bless them this day. Lord, may you bless them with their families this day. And I pray, God, that you, Lord, will bless the children of the fathers, Lord, on this day. And we ask, God, that you would go with us. And we ask your mercy to be upon us, Lord. For we, God, are needy people. We're not like the people of this Laodicean age, where it says they have need of nothing, or at least they think they don't. But we know we have need, Lord. For we're weak, we're human, and we need your strength to help us to overcome, to make it, to fight this battle. Lord, be with us this week. Watch over the different ones, dear God, as they go about their daily lives, God. Watch over them and keep them, Lord. Bring us back here, Lord, at the appointed time. I pray, Lord, for Brother Phil, you watch over him and bring him back home safely, Lord. Bless him on his trip, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.